It says, if that is the first thing that the student has to do, they must defend their Nidaisen, how is their side into the need in the Persian war. And then they bring forth their part against Platians. The Platians have done wrong too, they've done wrong to the Christ, and hence is their punishment. And this applies, of course, still more to the equality of the ages, also the equality of the epoch, the equality of cultures, things with which we are all up to familiar. Now, in his speeches, page 100, paragraph 5 following, Rousseau gives an example from his own life. It would be, we simply don't have the time to read all this, but when he was as a young man in Tansen with a Protestant minister, Monsieur Lambert Hughes. Now, what does the example show? I can only state my opinion, you cannot read it. The example, it seems to me, shows in fact, as you see it from a research interpretation, the fear of being ridiculed, of being disgraced, of bad opinion, enables one to overcome fear of ghosts and darkness. And I have no doubt that this is true. But this means, of course, something which is not natural in the sense of it. You know, the fear of the opinion of others. Poulos asserts to repeat that justice is worse, no, doing justice is worse than suffering injustice, but he also says that it is baser than doing injustice, than suffering injustice. You know, what baser means here is in Greek, it means you get a bad reputation if you act unjustly. But acting unjustly can be very profitable. That you only have to read the story of Mr. Zancano and other gentlemen to understand the thesis of Poulos. Poulos, in other words, refers to a difference between the good and the noble. The good and the noble. Now, the noble things, Socrates tries to show, are such, either because they are pleasant or because they are useful. Now, partly this has to do with Greek uses, which I cannot, I can't help it. There are, one would have to make a very complicated translation with different English terms to bring out an equivalent of that. The word that are translated by noble, kalon, it means also fine and beautiful. Now, when you say something is beautiful, that is from here, you mean either it is pleasant, a beautiful smell, it's obviously a pleasant smell. Or, so we call something beautiful, that works beautifully. Because it does its job well, it is useful. And correspondingly, the ugly or base things are so either because they are painful or because they are harmful. Now, to act unjustly is baser, uglier than suffering injustice, doing injustice is more unpleasant than suffering injustice, or it is more harmful than suffering injustice. But doing injustice is obviously not more unpleasant than suffering injustice. As using the simple example, to hit someone over the head is less, it's very unpleasant to the man who is hit over the head, but not necessarily unpleasant to the hitter. I think this is clear. Hence, doing injustice is more harmful than suffering injustice, contrary to what Poulos had asserted. Now I will not go into a deeper analysis of this argument. I will only say that Sugata has not proved his point. Because if you prove someone has contradicted himself, you have of course not proven that which of the two contradictory assertions is the preferable assertion. Is it clear? I mean, if you show a man, if you show a man that he says A is true, and force him to admit that A is not B, and then you have not proven that A is not B. You only have proven that he contradicts himself. And that this is therefore an open question which of the two is not. So, in other words, it has not proven here that doing injustice is worse than suffering injustice. It's only shown that Polos contradicts himself in this respect. No. What did I do? Yeah. So what Sugata has done is he has persuaded Polos to prefer the view that doing justice is worse than suffering justice. This is a feat, undeniable, but it is not a reputation. Sugata possesses undeniably the art of rhetoric, the art of persuasion. Although Sugata's rhetoric, let's also be clear, is an essentially just rhetoric. He has never... So, let us draw this conclusion. The rhetoric is not only the theme of the Goddess, it's obviously, but it is also the mode of the dialogue. It is a rhetorical discussion of rhetoric. And if we take this into consideration, the rhetorical character of the discussion, generally speaking, the mode of the discussion is distinguished from the content of the subject, we will transform the two-dimensionality of the printed page, where every sentence is as weighty as every other sentence, into the three-dimensionality of what is going on in the soul of those participants, and the latter alone is true understanding. Now, Sugata, after having settled this point that doing injustice is worse than suffering injustice, Sugata continues as follows. Suffering justly for having committed injustice is punishment. But all just things are noble or beautiful things. Hence, being justly punished is noble or beautiful. But being punished is not pleasant, particularly in the case of corporeal punishment. Hence, just punishment is good. Namely, it is good for the soul. The soul is freed from punishment, by punishment from injustice. Punishment is medicine for the soul. Now, justly or correctly inflicted punishment is medicine for the soul, i.e. an art. The art called dike in Greek, right or justice, but in this particular application, unity justice. And hence it follows necessarily that the properly punished tyrant or orator is better off than the non-punished tyrant or orator. Now here are some tricks. In the first is Polos has no way anymore to avoid these consequences. He's caught Now in the first place, one premise, all just things are noble or beautiful. It is true that those who have done some reading in Aristotle's Rhetoric and other places know that there is one conspicuous exception to that rule. I mean, namely that just punishment, other just things are also noble. Just actions are noble actions. But to undergo just punishment is not noble. Yes. Common thing, do you admire a man for going to jail? That is part of the noble, whether it is something which can be admired. So, and this is here presupposed, and vitiates the whole argument. Secondly, if being punished is noble, according to the logic used here, punishing is a noble act. Now, as a noble act, it must either be useful to the punisher or pleasant to the punisher. But it is not useful to the punisher, assuming that the punisher is a just man, he doesn't become more just by inflicting punishment. Hence, it must be pleasant for him. What a thought. The third one. Is it true that receiving punishment makes men better? You know, no topic is more topical today than this one. But it was a question at all times. Does it punishment make men more just? There are two other verses that mention that context, wisdom and courage. Do men become wiser, that's the simple example, by coercion? Courageous perhaps. It all depends on, coercion can do something to make men in a sense courageous, you know. In other words, it's impossible to become wise by coercion. Punishment is some coercion. How come that coercion should have this tremendous power regarding justice and no power regarding wisdom? It is so that logos, reasoning, is not sufficient for making men just, whereas it is sufficient for teaching them, for giving them theoretical insight. If all vice, including injustice, is ignorance, as was implied in the polar section, not punishment, but learning, teaching, would lead men away from that. Again, that is of course in the form of the question of rehabilitation, that is today the main discussion. If injustice is removed by punishment, then can justice be a kind of knowledge? As it was supposed to be. What has coercion to do with teaching? Well, of course we say, I teach you a lesson, we say to a naughty boy. And in a way, coercion does teach, but of course it is not exactly what we do in classrooms. Now, let us apply this to rhetoric. Or rather, let us see how the conclusion which Socrates draws to that. If all these things which he has shown to Polus are correct, rhetoric is of little use to the just man. The question of just forensic rhetoric, when he is unjustly accused, is not even alluded to. Rhetoric is of some use for the just man only for accusing those unjust men for whom he cares. For example, if he should have committed a crime, or his friends, or his fatherland, individuals or groups for which he cares, accusing them, their rhetoric is good. And that means simply like going, bringing them, say one's friend, to the judge for the improvement of his soul, as you bring him to a dentist for the improvement of his teeth. On the other hand, Sukadeva says, one ought to prevent by all means one's enemy from being punished for their unjust acts. They, that serves them right, that they embezzle that money and go to Florida and whatever else might be. Now, Polos is not convinced. But he is unable to defend his position. He is made rendered speechless. And we have here a clear case of a conflict between the feelings of a man and what he can maintain by speech. And the mere fact that this possibility exists, that we all have that position somewhat, presented a very persuasive case and they are unable to say anything against it, and yet they are unconvinced. This alone shows a certain essential weakness of speech, because we did it also in cases that we found later on that the man was right in his speech which did not convince us. Now, in the Gorgias section, we have this, the Gorgias section, to summarize now, we have this situation. Rhetoric is in itself just, one is just, opposed by rhetoric, is necessarily unjust because of its omnipotence. You know, it can take any chance because it can always talk himself out of a fixed before local. In the Polo section, Socrates asserts in the sharpest way, rhetoric is unjust. Rhetoric, no, Polo himself says it, as a matter of fact, by comparing the orator to the tyrant. And Socrates says rhetoric is altogether bad, it is flattery. Yet when we read carefully, we see it is not altogether bad. It is good for self-accusation, as he says. But we as readers and as critical readers, we say, why is it not also good for self-defense? That would also be. And the question would then be, why is self-accusation stressed and self-defense treated with silence? And the answer would be that in this dialogue, Socrates seems to abstract from all good things other than justice. You do not become more unjust by being unjustly condemned. Life, liberty, and the other goods are disregarded. The only thing which is considered is justice. And this has something to do with the fact that the highest art which appears within the horizon up to this point is a legislative art and not any higher art. Only through this abstraction from all goods other than justice is it possible to maintain the omnipotence or quasi-omnipotence of speeches. But if speeches have this tremendous power, why is there any need for punishment? Punishment is obviously not mere speech, but locked up or something more which is mere speech. Above all, in all this discussion of justice, which we have seen, there is not for one moment the question raised, and can't let alone answer, what is justice? Does this ring a bell, this fact, Mr. Guy?
The first book of the Republic has its conclusion that I have not yet
discussed. After he has proven that justice is good, he has not yet answered the question, what is justice? So he has, in other words, he leaves it at a vague notion of justice without knowing precisely what it is. The same is the case here. And we must see whether in the second, larger half of the dialogue, the Kaligra section, the question is raised. The question of what justice is raised. Now, this much as a survey of the third half of the Gorgia. There is no time left for beginning a discussion of the Kaligra section, and let us see whether there are any questions you would like to raise. Yes.
You spoke of the abstraction from all other goods, the justice.
Yeah.
And I also recall you remarked about the Republic that there was an abstraction. Is it a similar abstraction?
Yeah, there is a kinship between the two dialogues, which is in one way quite obvious. I mentioned the tripartition, which is the same in the two cases, and then the obvious theme, justice is in both for this. But it is a different one. The Republic discusses justice in that way that it answers the question of what justice is by answering simultaneously the question of what the best regime is. The best regime is not the theme in the Gorgias. The Gorgias is, from this point of view, less political than the Republic. But this has more great implications. What is the answer of the Republic to the question regarding the best regime, Mr. Dry? Yeah, but still, that's not the main point.
Well,
who rules?
The man that's most fit to rule, i.e.
the philosopher. In other words, there is nothing of the philosopher's ruling in the Gorgias. But that has a more specific implication. Can everyone be a philosopher according to the Republic? But state it positively. You need a certain training, that goes with it. But you need also a certain nature. This reflection on the nature of the philosopher is completely absent from the Gorgias. From the Gorgias you get this impression that it is every man's duty to philosophize. And in order to turn abstraction from human nature. And this leads to the consequence that the overall effect of the Gorgias is very depressing. If you make very high demands on every human being, you are bound to be greatly disappointed. You know? And therefore, that is a consequence of that. This is a striking difference. Then one can perhaps say this follows. You have to look at the statement of his myth, of his life, his work, to the city, in the Apology. And then you have the Republic is here. It's at the other end. In between is the Gorgias. This is roughly the situation. The Gorgias contains the Yes, Sugata says in the apology right at the beginning, and I will tell you the whole truth. Yes, but that is not quite true, because Sugata does not tell the Athenians the reflection which induced him to make his defensive speech and to make it in this particular form. This reasoning preceding the apology is given in the Gorgia. And there, Sugata says, his position when a man like himself would have to defend himself before the city would be that of a patrico who is accused by, a physician who is accused by the patrico before a tribunal of children, that he gives only his bigger pills and not his little. And he would of course be condemned. Now he cannot, but Socrates cannot as a defendant say to the Athenians, I regard you as children. Can he do that? It would be improper contempt of court or what have you. And therefore, this, in other words, the whole, that you can, if you read the apology in a two-dimensional manner, you know, like a newspaper article or a textbook or whatever, then you never get the background. By background, I do not mean that his mother was a midwife and this kind of background, or human interest stories. But what the background is, what is going on in the soul of the speaker, and what is not, does not come out, cannot come out in the speech. To some extent, this third dimension of the apology is supplied in the Gorgia. But it is still given here in a way which is relatively popular in this sense, that it starts from the premise more acceptable to the demons that what Socrates does, his way of life, is a way of life which everyone could and should live. You know? As if it were the Gorgias is very important for the popular notion now prevailing and having prevailed for some time of Socrates, and which I caricature as follows. Socrates is a kind of Uncle Sam, pointing his finger at you. You remember the wartime poet is not yet a young one, but some of you know. Pointing his finger and says, did you do your philosophizing today? Of buttonholing everyone, the first man says, what is virtue? Which of course is a sheer caricature. So that we knew quite well that you could not bring men even to ordinary justice by this kind of thing. One can say these three dialogues, the apology, the Gorgias, and the Republic, belong together from this point of view. The Republic makes it clear that philosophizing can be only the work of a small minority. And therefore, there is necessarily a conflict between not necessarily leading to slaughter, but tension, let me say, between the city and philosophy. This conflict does not as such come out in the apology nor in the Gorgias. In the Gorgias, the conflict is presented as a factual one, but not as an essential one. Meaning this, so that it suggests vaguely that in the good old times, before FDR, before Pericles, things were reasonably all right in Athens. Yeah? I say, kind of marathon. revolutionary war in this country, founding age, everything was fine. And only, you know that there is no fundamental conflict, only a factual conflict. I will speak of that in the kind of section. Is there any other point? Yes.
When you mentioned the irrationality of premises,
yeah.
Could be helped thinking of Ross Kalmanoff and Crime and Punishment, in which the only way for human to be or to exist was to willfully accept punishment because it is crime. This was sensible and rational for him to do this, or else his soul dried up and became nothing.
Yeah.
And so I wondered also if this would not be rational then. If one soul commits the wrong act to accept the punishment,
yes.
To even seek out the punishment for that.
Yes, this would be, I think, in accordance with that sort of thing. But it takes, however, a man who is not yet convinced that he acted unjustly. Raskolnikov has come to repent and to see that he acted wrongly before, and then he felt he could not get rid of this disfigurement of his soul, as you call it, except by some of the interaction. But most criminals, or at least many of them, have not reached that stage. Will they, by mere flogging, imprisoning, or the prospect of the hot seat, come to see that this was wrong? That's the question.
Probably not.
Yeah, but this is the question with which we are concerned. And the question is not, in other words, the true conversion of what's going to precede the punishment is not brought about.
It's not that.
Brought about by the punishment. The conversion, the insight. The question is whether punishment as such produces insight.
Would you say that would it be possible for any man to really get in touch with his soul, with all the big words, justice, love, God, and so forth, without undergoing great suffering and great punishment?
Yeah, but that is a long quest. I mean, there is a famous saying of Aeschylus, the classic poet, where he identifies suffering in Greek pathos with mathos, with learning, pathos, mathos, which is a simple formula. But whether this is in agreement with what the philosophers see, Plato and Aristotle, is a long question. For example, in the case of Socrates, is there any emphasis on his suffering as the condition of his becoming a tolerably decent man? The formula, I mean, there is a formula there which needs interpretation. Still, a formula is known to everyone. Socrates has in himself what he calls a demonic thing, which guides him. This has, this belongs to him, and was always in him. There is no reference to, well, I mean, in other words, a peculiar gift to him. This, not suffering, made him what he was. And that is one can be, I mean, what has frequently been attacked by Peter coming from the biblical tradition as a certain superficiality of the Greek, and especially of the Greek philosopher, has something to do with what he said. Do you see that point? And, strange as it may sound, Nietzsche, above all, attacks the Greek as superficial in their psychology because of this seeming, quote, optimism. I'm going to sit there. That's a great fit. And I'm very good to put it up. I do not, let me say one word in conclusion. I ask you to have some patience, because I have to bring in certain things which seem to be merely funny and curious without having any importance. That one must be patient with these things are important, but they reveal their meaning only in a larger context. And in addition, you must not forget that I give this survey of the Gorgias only in order to have a minimum preparation, a better minimum preparation for the study of the Protagoras than we otherwise would have. In the Protagoras we will start from scratch and proceed by short pieces, reading each one. Mr. Schaefer, you may turn on. Change is culture of nature, as demanded by nature, but also acquired in a natural manner. No violence. The variety of meanings of nature which comes here together. It is in education necessarily is not simple enough. It is a culture of nature. But the good education according to the truth is a cultivation of nature as nature demands it, and in a natural manner, i.e. not violent. This is a good education. Let us only read page 113, the fifth paragraph. The book is now, comes now up regarding books, reading. Yeah. Yes?
Infinity is plainly indicated. What is it made clearly? To pronounce correctly without affectation. To perceive and imitate the right action in prose and verse. And always speak loud enough to be heard, but without speaking too loud. Common fault is true.
Yeah, and that's all right, but I wonder how this is possible without precepts. I don't see how it could be done. I don't understand that. But you must admit this is not in the natural style. More cumbersome and truly more cumbersome, and also not necessarily morally superior to simply say don't talk so loud. Even if he says I beg you, don't talk so loud, it hurts me. What is the practically the difference between that and a preacher? He says himself blame the old education. And hearing voices are feeling clean. That is in fact a command. It's the mere form of command that sends one of my soul disciples that would be the Christian. And there are other things, by the way, of which he doesn't discuss, and which would be interesting for somebody who is the ordinary decencies regarding the digestive process. Yeah. You know? A king shouldn't do certain things at table, and even otherwise, dream and this kind of thing. What will you do? What will you do? Simply run out and say, I can't stand there? And is it not, the whole question in general sense, it's the avoidance of precepts. Or is precepts as bad? Also so central, and that's of course a question to be addressed also to progressive education afterwards. Someone, Mr. Johnson?
By precept, you mean not to do it?
Yes, sir.
Another question is, in terms of examples, like when a mule breaks the window, when it's cold,
care about his legal identity. He's been raped again, and you would put him away in a dark place with a note, we're no one knows.
Yeah. Just force, no command. That's that song. Force him or use. That's locking in. Even spanking. That's all right.
Force but no prejudice and not violence.
Force but no prejudice and not violence.
How about violence?
Violence. The same. I mean, the difference is unless you make, or unless you mean from taking to everything in anger. No, no, you would do it, so you shouldn't act in anger. Because this would give it effect. I mean, the bride may be unbearable. And that this might be the easy story, you know, of the perfect modern educator who doesn't never get angry and then he tries to do everything, and the consequence is that he becomes mad in the end, and then he kills his child. You see, there's all the other things. Yes, sure. No, in other words, I do not believe that this is, I never believe that this is the soundest education. But we must try to understand, I mean, that is where the ego to be told of such a book by all kinds of observations. But we must understand what drives will go in this direction. And I mean, what is the reason of all these supposed partly on the face of him reasonable and partly on the face of him unreasonable? And then it is always this the self-sufficient individual, the man without any prejudice. And therefore the ties should already be a paradox. And if it is true that there is no central connection between prejudice and authority, then no authority. And it can indeed be that there is a connection between prejudice and authority. A command means, of course, I tell you, and I don't have to give you a reason. In some cases, you can't give the reason, because as you will still rightly say, how can a child know what will be good for him as a grown-up man? A condition of which he has no concrete understanding. So the old view was, you simply say, it is not being done. Naughty. Serious. And, it worked reasonably well in many cases. In other cases, it didn't work. But the working is no good criterion, because who has proven that the professor was the patient? You must have heard of that. They discovered suddenly that Ivan, who knows how to read and write and to reckon better than Johnny, might create a great danger to grown-up Johnny, to grown-up Ivan later. And so, it was an entirely irrelevant consideration. Johnny won't understand it. But simply a consequence is that the education process has to be revised. I mean, that was on the lowest level on which education program can be revised, but I think it was an improvement. You see, and the idea behind it was, of course, this: no competition. No competition. All children are equal, not only in the eyes of God, but also as far as the scholastic achievements are concerned. The presumption being, no grade or distinction or anything. And so that no one sees himself superior to anyone else. This is compatible with human life, that's what is the question. I mean, is it compatible? Whatever you take, sports or whatever else it may be, the inequality there is in the face. And is it not a mere mystery to deny? I mean, what we still have to be taught is that in spite of some superiority which they may possess, they still have to behave decently to those inferior to them in this or that respect. That was the older, more realistic. So we still have something to do with this gravity change. But what we still have in mind, the overall goal, which we have always keep in mind, is this: it is an experiment, and not merely an experiment educated in the narrow sense. He doesn't write of he wants to show that this is my opinion, this is how we mean here. He wants to show when and what point, for what reason, prejudice is absolutely necessary. And there is what kind of prejudice is the most rapid step. That's what I was doing here. If I may use my old cleaner, here is the common starting point for the 9 and for the 6. Man goes in this direction, everything goes in this direction. Now up to a certain point you educate a near as a man, without any regard to the self. And obviously, you must become a citizen. You must become a citizen. One of the sides is not needed as a general remark, as a man must be a citizen. More specific, but to the first objective, to become a citizen means to become subject to authority, obviously. It means to become subject to some pleasure. And then, here, some events will show, I say, in here, right here, but in a much better way, in order to give you a better citizen than if you were trying to fit. Much better, much more happy. But no. So there is a unity of this political guiding problem, the political conduct, and the community, but still not, I mean, it does not bear on the face, not to do some thinking. Now, is there any other question you would like to, anyone of you would like to take up?
Do you think
that would be very hard to do, because Nietzsche really didn't question that. The sociality of man. The truth says man is the least gregarious animal. And Nietzsche says man is the most gregarious animal. It's so a direct contrast is not possible here. So, and especially Nietzsche, they get absolutely the principle of no authority. And Nietzsche says, you know, that is a paragraph which we discussed in the last Nietzsche seminar. In the end, either that in a way, no, any authority is better than no authority, and not from the utilitarian point of view, not law and order, but from the point of view of making a man a man. You know, growing up without impediment, and he gives you the somebody that some of the compulsion that to use only these forms of meter. In poetry, make better poets than if they can just follow their nature by just calling it out, without such a resistance, without learning to walk on.
But I have a mind that there were certain kinds of
comments. Yeah, they are quite amazing. But in generally speaking, the relation is this, opposition.
Pardon?
Nietzsche rejects the Rousseauan schema. But this rejection is based on something common, which is not so easy to get. In other words, Nietzsche does not simply appeal from Rousseau to older thinkers. He goes in a way in the same direction, much more radical than Rousseau does. I stated it once in a seminar on the generality of morals. How was that? Self-preservation style, self-preservation or compassion in Rousseau? I cannot know, I'm sorry. I do not remember that. But there is really a close connection. Both polemical comments.
what could have been there that would be particular about them, prior to any outside of the film? So that was the summary of that.
Yeah, but a mutist, a primitive man, is the intervention of morals, is a feared man, absolutely. A feared man. And the individual emerged only after a long process of being molded by feared morality. In opposition, man is not from the beginning an individual, except in the bodily sense. But a man who follows his own law, his own universal, that is the end of a very long process, and in no way the beginning. This is just more realistic than what we assume seems to suggest. Yeah. That, by the way, what Nietzsche says about this point is not particular, is it? It's better in his book Physics and Politics. Developed that almost immediately after Darwin. And the crucial importance of custom, of a frozen custom, to make the species stable. And this lasted for millennia. It is the same as in Nietzsche. And now the question is, that is what Beza himself on a Nietzsche is more complex. How did, quote, progressive society, because I was not simply custom bound emerge, and under what conditions is it test. And that book is, I believe, usually not considered in connection with Nietzsche, but it seems to me when one reads these two books together, one is quite obvious connection. Yeah, so next time, who will read the paper next time?
Love and protect himself. And then they say equality, that equal vision of all, you know, that's the equality. This is against nature, but reasonably effective. Yeah, reasonably effective. But of course only on the surface. Because what is going on in the individual is not controlled by this. And therefore, Glaucon, probably remember, in the heart, everyone wants to get the mold. And there are simply clear calculations and nothing else in this man to act justly when seen. But if someone is eminently clever and courageous, he can get away with murder on the largest scale. Of course, he must also make some minor concessions, you know, to what the many think to be the kind. No, that is open. The common basis between, say, Plato or Philip and the son is we seek the natural good for man. The difference is, does justice form a part of the natural good of man or not? So they're saying yes, because it's no. A very rapid successful issue. But the basis is common. That what is by nature good for man is he good. It's not only not question, but presupposed.
But I thought, by the way, the nature of man would be
even apart from that, could not someone say that while normal somehow enters into the nature of man, is required by the nature of man, yet there is something in man, the laundry nature. This is the very defensive. I mean, not a corrupted nature, but, you know, good honor for the nature. You know this. So next time, we have a reading with the speaker. I forgot what I would call that the gentleman or the lady in question.
Oh, you have to join the next
room. You only say, sure, yeah.
Could you talk about the next, what's the place of
the rule of God? The rule of God stated very clearly that human nature can be much too strong for the rule, and at least on one occasion, let him just stop. Miss Hattie, there are two questions in the room, isn't it? Partly due to your particular activity. Well, 20 minutes, I eat 7 typewritten pages double spaced.
You want to
do
that?
No. Only in the case of those who where I have double pages, so same down one. Mm-hmm. To whom does this belong?